Grace, mercy, and peace be upon you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Friends, we are in the season of Eastertide. We are living in the afterglow of the resurrection. And as we revel in the revelation of an empty tomb, it is difficult not to feel that somehow this Christian community here and now hasn't somehow suddenly reached back across 20 centuries to that moment in time when the tomb first burst open, when angels first appeared, and our life was forever and irrevocably changed. Our life, right, is being saved from the inevitable decay of the world around us. And we know now, on this side of the resurrection, we know with stunning awareness that we are not made for this world alone. Now, in many ways, every Sunday is a repeat of Easter. We celebrate Easter every single Sunday. Why? Well, as Zig Ziglar notes, repetition is the mother of what? All learning. You have some things to learn this morning. Our family has an iPod that we share, mostly so that we can listen to music on a Bluetooth speaker. And as of late, I have discovered a repeating problem. For the most part, when I pick up that iPod to start a playlist or a station that we listen to, I simply just pick up wherever my kids left off. And just the other day, using the iPod, and it's mostly background music, but after about 10 minutes, I noticed that I'm still listening to the exact same song that I was 10 minutes ago. And so I get on the iPod, and somebody has hit the little repeat button. It's a repeating problem. You see what I did, right? Sorry. Actually, if it's the best construction, if I put the best construction on it, it's simply this, right? It's their way of learning all of the lyrics to the particular tunes that we're listening to. Why? Because repetition is the mother of what? Of all learning. That's right. Now, repetition isn't the flashiest, nor is it the most exciting strategy for learning something new. But friends, it is necessary. See, repetition is required to transition a skill from the conscious level of understanding to the subconscious level. To put it another way, repetition increases automaticity. When you first learn a new skill, it takes a buku amount of brain power for you to actually execute that skill. But, friends, our designer has created our brains for efficiency. And so as we execute that skill over and over and over, as we put that skill on repeat over and over and over and over, it moves from one part of our brain to another part of our brain so that we don't have to consciously think about that skill anymore. Those of you who drive, let me ask, have you ever arrived somewhere and wondered to yourself, how did I get here? It's because the driving skills have moved to that part of your brain, that subconscious level. We don't have to think about it anymore, which is frightening, by the way. Maybe something not so frightening, tying your shoe. Like most of you probably don't think about the steps it takes to actually tie your shoe anymore. You just do it. You tie it. You don't even think about it. It just happens. It's because repetition is the mother of what? All learning. You've repeated it so frequently that it's moved from a place of having to think about it to not having to think about it. And it's true not only with skills, but with information as well. For example, if I asked you what letter of the alphabet comes immediately before the letter L, you could figure that out. My question is, how did you figure that out? Most of you probably sang a little song in your head. If you didn't sing the song, you certainly said the rhythm of a song that you've sung how many times? A ton. You know the ABCs because you were taught the ABCs and you repeated it forever and ever and ever and ever in a day. Any kindergarten teachers here? You know what I'm talking about, right? Repetition is the mother of what? All learning. Today, friends, today, we once again dive into these events which immediately follow the resurrection. And like last week, these sort of just after the resurrection events, like they're a wonderful little window into those early moments, into those early reflections, into those early questions of this reality-shaking truth of the resurrection. And so we do that again today. If you want to follow along, let me encourage you to grab a Bible. You can do that, paper, digital, the one you brought, the one we provide. And let's go to John chapter 21. John chapter 21 this morning. We're going to start at verse 1. John chapter 21, starting at verse 1. So getting to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Almost the close of this Gospel. John chapter 21, starting at verse 1. All right, starting at verse 1. So here's what John writes. He says, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. In other words, the resurrected Jesus just keeps showing up. Listen, if you want to tweet something later today, if you want to drop something on Facebook, if you want to TikTok somebody, I don't know, if you want to snap somebody, snap this. The resurrected Jesus just keeps showing up. And the resurrected Jesus is just going to keep showing up in your life and mine and the life of the world. Now, his first two appearances, this is appearance number 3 after the resurrection. So the first two appearances we heard about last week. Pastor Adam bringing stunning clarity to John's words, these things are written that you may trust that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by trusting, you may have life in his name. Now, honestly, how much did the disciples need to hear that message? Locked up together as they were, doing their best to keep the danger out and keep their lives inside and safe. The first thing that Jesus says to them, Pastor Adam reminded us last week, the first thing that Jesus says to them in that locked room is, peace be with you. And friends, we should be really clear. It's not just peace for that moment, but also peace for the calling. See, Jesus would go on to say, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And if you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. In other words, the disciples are now fully authorized agents of the kingdom with the power and the authority of the resurrected Christ himself. And their calling is to go, to get out of a locked room and back into the world. Jesus brought the disciples to a door and he's asking them to walk through it. And this week in this text, they walk through that door, but they only walk through it to go back to something that is familiar to them. They go back to a safe thing. They walk out the door to go fishing. So fast forward to the end of verse 3. The end of verse 3, it says, so they went out, they got into the boat, but that night they caught what? How'd that go for you? Right, you just step back into the safe thing, into the thing that you know, and it doesn't go as planned. Now, church, here's the deal. I want us to pay attention to what happens between verses 4 and 7, because it will sound shockingly familiar to you and me. If as Christians, we believed in deja vu, this would be it, right? So 21 verse 4. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? How do you think they said this? I mean, were they cheerful about not catching fish all night? Like, how did they respond? No, right? Haven't you any fish? No, they reply. We said, oh, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. And then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. And soon, as Simon Peter heard him say, it's the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off, and he jumped into the water. This experience, church, this experience would have been shockingly similar to one they had had only 3 years prior. See, then Jesus was a fairly unknown rabbi from the area of Galilee. He was teaching a small group of people by the same sea. All the while, Peter and the Zebedee boys are cleaning up after a very unsuccessful night of fishing. And Jesus then instructs Peter and the boys to push out into the deep water. And there, in that place, in that unexpected place, there are fish to be found. 3 years prior, at Jesus' word, Peter and the boys, they push out into that water, and the text tells us that they caught so many fish that their nets began to break. They needed help from more of their friends, and their boats began to sink. You see, after that miraculous haul of fish, Jesus basically says, listen, if you think this is amazing, just wait. I'm going to teach you how to fish for people. Now, 3 years later, the disciples have spent every waking and sleeping hour with Jesus. Peter and the boys, they head out the door and back, listen, back into the safe waters. Still uncertain of what this new resurrection truth means. And so here they are fishing all night, and they have nothing to show for it. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And so there's Jesus standing on the shore, and he suggests to them a different place to throw their nets. And so they throw it over the right side of the boat, and it says they bring in this huge haul of fish, and a light bulb goes off in their brain. It's like they've been here before, because repetition is the mother of what? All learning. Verse 7. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say this, he flies into the water like a madman, right? This is a guy who actually gets dressed to get into the water, not undressed to get into the water. He puts on that garment, flies into the water, and while he doesn't walk on the water, he certainly moves very quickly to Jesus. And once he arrives on the shore, Jesus and those disciples, they share breakfast together, basking in the presence of one another. And as John notes, he says, no one dared ask him, who are you? For they knew it was the Lord. Now, we should pause and just ask, like, why are we reliving and redoing and repeating this miraculous catch of fish? Like, we've already done the miraculous catch of fish thing 3 years ago. Why are we redoing and reliving and repeating it? Well, because repetition is the mother of what? All learning. You know, shortly before Aaron and I left for Europe as short-term missionaries, I had a meeting with our church body's shrink. We have one of those. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod does have a shrink. Both Aaron and I took a number of assessments, and he wanted to talk to me specifically about my results. So as I sat across from him in that small windowless room, he said to me, Brian, you're bipolar. And then he just sat back and waited for whatever to happen. Now, church, total news to me. No idea. Like, I've always been an emotional guy more than a thinking guy, but the idea that I actually had bipolar, and he could see, right, that I was struggling with it. So he said, I'm sorry. I didn't finish my sentence. You have bipolar tendencies. Thank you? He said, Brian, listen, the reality is this. Under stress, when human beings are under stress, the worst of us usually comes out. And when you move overseas, there will be stress. And the worst of you will probably come out. All of your unhealthy habits will come to light. And so, Brian, I want you to be aware so that when you're under that stress, you can be ready with a new set of habits. Well, Peter and the boys, right, certainly under stress, they return to that long-learned habit of fishing. And in so many ways, they return to their old selves. But Jesus had given them a new calling to be fishers of men, to be fully authorized agents for the kingdom, to go. And Peter and the boys needed to be reminded. It needs to be on repeat in their mind and their heart. Two things. That Jesus is still the Lord of the mission and the Lord of the harvest. We know that was true before the resurrection. Jesus is saying after the resurrection, it's still true. It's still true that Jesus is the Lord of the mission and the Lord of the harvest. And secondly, that there are still people. There are men and women, boys and girls who have never heard the good news of the gospel. That hasn't changed after the resurrection. The disciples needed to be reminded of it. That he's in charge, but the mission isn't over. Repetition is the mother of all learning. After the sharing of breakfast, Jesus enters into what feels like a very uncomfortable conversation with Simon Peter. Verse 15, when they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, well, feed my lambs. And again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He says, yes, Lord, you know that I do. The third time, Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now we could ask again, why are we reliving and redoing and repeating this question? I mean, Jesus knows the answer to the question. And so why is it on repeat? Why is he redoing it again and again and again? Why is he making Peter relive it again and again and again? You know, there are two phrases in our house that we share with our kids pretty regularly. One is typically when they get out of the car in the morning, we say to them, be strong and courageous, for the Lord is with you. Every morning when they get out of the car, right? Be strong and courageous, for the Lord is with you. Every morning when they get out of the car, be strong and courageous, for the Lord is with you. And at night, in those last few moments of the day, to say, I love you. And so does Jesus. Every night, to say, I love you. And so does Jesus. Every night when we leave, I love you. and so does Jesus. I remember several years ago asking one of our daughters, do you know why we tell you that every day, like all the time? So we know it? Yeah? There are other reasons? So we believe it? Do you love me, Simon? Do you love me? Imagine Simon for a second who's thinking back on his life, who not but like weeks ago would say to Jesus, listen, I will never deny you. But who knows? He knows his own story. There in the courtyard in Jerusalem as he waits Jesus being tried for his life, someone says, weren't you with Jesus? Simon says, no, of course I wasn't. A little bit later, right? I'm pretty sure you were with Jesus. I'm pretty sure I saw you. Simon says, no. You have the wrong individual. Finally, a third time. No, I'm pretty sure that you were with Jesus because you sound like you're from Galilee. Peter says, no, I don't know him. Simon, do you love me? Why is that question on repeat? Why is he reliving it? Why does he have to redo it again and again and again and again? Jesus already knows the answer. He's going to ask the question until Simon knows the answer. Until Simon believes the answer. My guess is that you and I, right, we've had moments like Simon Peter, where you doubt your love for Jesus. Right? If I loved Jesus fully, if I fully loved him, then I'd be at church more, right? Or if I fully loved Jesus, then I'd give more abundantly. If I fully loved Jesus, then I'd actually talk to my neighbors about Jesus. Maybe I don't really love him. And so Jesus puts on repeat for you and me, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? See, every Sunday is basically a repeat of Holy Week. It's an opportunity to be honest and say, well, we haven't loved you as well as we should. That's true. And we get to lay that on the shoulders of Jesus, who for you and for me would take that to the cross. But then he'd bury it in the ground. And every Sunday, a repeat of that Holy Week and the good news of a resurrection, that all of that sin does not identify you, that brokenness isn't what makes you you. But rather, you are a son and a daughter of a resurrected Jesus who loves you. And so he's going to say again and again and again and again and again on repeat, I love you. I love you. I love you. Why? Because the repetition, it is the mother of all learning. And you and I, friends, you and I need to learn again and again and again and again that nothing will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? And so, may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts in Christ today and every day. Amen.